That was quite a day yesterday. And the frequencies are so beautiful today. So thank you. And I also wanted to thank you for being here. And the way that you are here. I'm just going to pause so that I am fully clear about how to say this. Every single person here is here for the deepest soul connection. No one is here to try to abuse or misuse any of the teachings. I completely trust the group to not be on social media trying to hook people into taking their classes and trainings in a hooking way. And I mean that sincerely. There's a difference between marketing your programs in a way that's clear and non-hooking versus. Lacking the integrity of how you would use the teachings to serve your own personal ego and agenda. So that makes this a very fertile group. Which is a privilege for me. I consider it a privilege to be able to share with you the teachings that were shared with me. These are not my teachings. I've earned the teachings, but they're the teachings that are the perennial teachings that came to me through my teachers. And they've been translated through me into everyday life teachings, everyday language, an approach that includes everyday life and is meant to transform living here on Earth into a beautiful experience. And, always the main message is you're never alone. You are being held by Mother Earth and Father Sun. Each and every being is. But they don't realize it. And that is the cause of the suffering and pain. And if your purpose here, if you were born with an orientation, an attunement to serve the beauty of humanity and of spirit. We're all severely attuned to that suffering. And there are many, many ways of addressing that. And we need all the multiple ways that exist. And there's the perennial teachings that are part of the living energies. And we're really taught by Mother Earth and Father Sun and the love that they create. And so those teachings have been written down in many manuscripts. And if you hold a true manuscript, you'll receive and be able to tune in to the living energies of that manuscript. But most of the teaching, the living teaching, comes through oral transmission. Other than the teaching that comes directly to you. So every single person has access to that within them. And there's a chain of transmission that becomes entrusted to those who are fertile. Which supports the living teachings that are perennial and eternal and all pervasive. They're always in service to the pure teachings. And if you're a teacher or a guide, a facilitator, you're born with that knowing, or at some point it becomes evident to you that that is part of your path. And it's not an easy path in our world. And my teacher used to talk about two things. He would talk about mankind, the great orphan, meaning they did not know how they were being held in the heart of the great goddess and the great father. And he would talk about robe trips. ROBE trips, which is out of date now, but in the 60s, the equivalent of what's going on the internet in terms of marketing, New Age and spiritual principles, the trip was that people would, dressed up like Eastern spiritual teachers in their robes and beads and everything, and be on a trip about being a teacher or a guru or a guide. And he and I spent many lifetimes together. And I've mentioned before that in his helping me heal, he taught me about healing. But Learning about healing came after having to develop a real strong foundation in concentration, relaxation, and contemplation, of being able to go within and find the teachings within me first. And when I did that, he considered me fertile and could share more with me. And he was very gentle, but very firm. And this point about relaxation and concentration, he was very, very adamant about mastering that. Because without relaxation and concentration, the ability to So concentration is not the same as what you think about in terms of when you're in college or learning something and your forehead is all crinkled and you're trying to memorize something. That's not concentration. Concentration on the spiritual path is about being able to stay in a certain frequency consistently unbroken. So that concentration was an act of awareness rather than a forcing of the mind. Now, our grounding practice is actually a concentration and relaxation practice. So, when I refer to being grounded and circulating the energy in the midst of your daily life, that's a concentration and relaxation practice. So he didn't teach grounding like I teach grounding. That was not in his teachings. I learned about teaching about grounding from Mother Earth directly. She speaks to me, I speak with her, but she's the one that drew me into her heart in my early 20s and has guided me ever since, which is why I say that this is in the feminine goddess teachings, because she is my primary guide and teacher. But he recognized that in me, and let's just say supplemented and taught me the skills that I needed to really bring those teachings into a blossoming, living frequency. So remember, I said some of this is very sobering. So the practice of grounding and feeling that energy in however you know it, you may not be feeling the energy in your feet and through your body the same way I'm feeling it. But you know it. You know what your body feels like when you're grounded. You know what it feels like when you're being uplifted by that energy. You know what it feels like to be sustained by that energy. And you know that you can only do that through relaxing first. And by relaxing, you calm the mind and you're able to tune into the more subtle dimensions, which then allows you to feel your body because you're not in the chaos and the noise, allows you to relax your body. When the body is not making a lot of noise from tension, then the subtle world opens up naturally. So I have yet to see a spiritual group that will focus primarily on relaxation, first and foremost. It's kind of like you want to get to the fancy stuff first, but you really can't get to that until you've mastered a certain level of relaxation of the body and the mind. And there's nothing to be embarrassed about with that. Our culture has created this intense tension. And many times, in order to find a connection to spirit, we'll escape from the body or dissociate from the body and try as we might to connect to something subtle, to something more uplifting, to something brighter in any way we can find. And yet, the body can get left behind. And there's absolutely no reason to be here on Earth in a body and skip over it. Why would we even consider ignoring the most primary and foundational teaching that we're here for, which is to understand the teachings of Mother Earth directly through her body, which is our body. Pausing. So, in this training, which you've been guided to and consciously chose to take, a fundamental practice is the daily practice of grounding, including your body. And relaxation. They go together. And so, as you continue on your path to possibly one day leading your own circles, ceremonial circles, this practice is essential. So there's a difference in what's required of you to be in training to lead a ceremonial session and to lead a ceremonial life versus attending a class as a student. You've committed to upping your game here. I would like to know how this is landing with you, and I'll tell you why. It's very uncomfortable for me to speak of this standard. It really is a standard of learning these fundamental basic skills. I'm a little more loosey-goosey than that, and there's a language issue because I don't want to be heard in the old paradigm student-teacher language that induces a sense of a student having to do something, quote, do something, study something, perform, get graded. That's what this is not. This is not about that. And so I'm very uncomfortable knowing that what I say could be interpreted from that perspective, because I would never want to induce that feeling in anyone. And yet, I'm not in control of how you receive that information.
Sarah, this is Carolyn. When I was preparing for this morning, I was really intentional about my prayer and wish for the being of this practice versus the doing of my pattern. And my experience this morning has been just a sense of embodiment, and a relaxing. And so I didn't experience the doing, the mental. It's just more of an embodiment.
That's beautiful. I'm thrilled for you. Thank you.
Hi. I didn't interpret it and from an old paradigm thing in terms of like obligation or these are the check things you have to check off to prove mastery or accomplishment. I didn't hear any of that. That's not how I interpreted it. I felt honored and privileged and humbled, and I just felt like it was part of my own internal path, regardless of whether I lead sacred circle ceremonies or not. It was just for me.
Sarah, your words are really landing beautifully in me, and it's calling to mind the one of the papers that you wrote, and I don't remember the name of it, but it's about, I mean, my heading, my title of it goes, "You think you're too cool to ground every day." Somehow that you don't need to be in this space of being in harmony with Mother Earth, and it's not unheard of for you, Sarah, to know that I can kind of buck against what I might perceive as authority, and that is where I won't ground. I'll somehow think that I don't need it as much as others. And I feel horrible even saying this, but I need to, because I really want this old piece, this old thread to be transformed. And I'm really moving through the way that I distort that. And that is where I end up, to use some of your language, Sarah, mangling the teachings. And yesterday was a very subtle but profound shift for me, where I feel ready in a way that I haven't felt before. I hope I'm making sense. I have a lot of emotion around this right now. But I want to come out fully as someone who has, though I don't need to ground, I feel pretty good today. And I'm really bringing that into the light intentionally, because I want that part of my old identity to shift.
It's very touching. I know you've been bucking this whole thing all along.
It's true. It's true.
Thank you.
Hi, Sarah, it's Lakshmi.
Mm-hmm.
I truly feel privileged and humbled to be part of this training. When you were mentioning about looking at it through the old paradigm, what came to me was just having to add comments daily. That for me has been a challenge. But at the end of the day, I remind myself it is about the reciprocity. And it is a give and take. And so even if I don't have an insight for a day, I still think and pause and try to figure out what I would add to the comment that day. But I truly appreciate being here and just want to thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, you post at like 12, 1 o'clock my time. So I don't see those till the morning. And I started waking up. Oh, I wonder what Lakshmi posted last night. I loved looking at them. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate, Lakshmi, how you have, how brave you are to come into this group as fairly new, and how responsive you are being to the teachings, and how you're following through with yourself, being with where you're at. So it's really beautiful to see.
Thank you. And it helps that everyone is so welcoming and just accepted me. So thank you so much to everyone.
Sarah, this is Fran, and what I hear is, and what I experience when you speak as you have been, is a great integrity, a great love, a great love for the sacred. And given my yearning, I think all of our yearning, but speaking for mine, to up my game, to live a ceremonial life, to live truly in the sacred. I am so grateful that you speak truth, that you don't gloss it over, you don't pretend that this is somehow, you know, not going to require some shifts, some awareness about what conscious choices about what I wish or what we wish. So I thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah. I actually did a lot of writing on this very topic for myself. Just thinking back as the important things that have driven my life. And it's truth. and unconditional love. So finding you, how many years ago, we're finally getting to the point of living a life and creating living relationships with those energies that support us. And that was so real yesterday. So this morning it was, my nervous system was really zapped. And I had a hard time sitting. Once I did, it was just the most beautiful experience that I've ever had. So this path is truth. This path is unconditional love. And that is what I'm here for. And I am so grateful, way back in the late 2008 or 9, whenever I met you, that you reached out and you said, you know, I'm starting this class and I just wonder if you think that might be part of your journey. And I'm so glad you did that. I am so glad you did that. Thank you. I'm so grateful for this experience with all of you. Thank you.
It's Ken. I don't know how many of you were in a class a few years ago when Sarah decided she was going to get ungrounded. And I think we all felt like we were spinning out into space like George Clooney in Gravity or something. You know, just there was nothing there to tether us. And it reminds me that it's not just during the facilitating that we have to be careful to be grounded, but just throughout our lives and carry that with us every moment. Something I certainly don't remember to do, but I'm trying to get there 100% of the time. But how very, very important it is, not just for me, but for those around me, to help tether them.
Yeah, very often if I feel like I need help, I'll ask Ken to go ground. And it really helps me. There can be moments when I really need some help with it. And we all need that. And it's nice to be able to have someone living here that I can ask to do that. Sometimes I yell at him to do it because he needs it. But it's But for me to be able to ask someone I'm living with to say, I could use a little help right now. Can you just go sit over there and ground a little, and it'll really help me out. And he's able to do that. And that's what I would hope some of you could do for each other. That within this class and training, a different type of community can develop where we can ask for help. Because we don't do this all by ourselves. It's impossible. And I realize that many people don't have people that they're living with or partners that know how to ground. Sometimes that's what the recordings can help with. But maybe you can connect with, I mean, I would love it if, you know, you could send a text to someone or go on the page and say, I need some help grounding, and just put that out there and then see what happens. See if you get some support. 'Cause someone might see it and ground and you'll feel it. This whole thing of feeling like we have to do it ourselves is so ingrained. It's just like solid rock. And it's what this Western culture is built on. And it's so off from reality. And maybe as you're sitting there right now, you can even sense the frequency of that in your being. In some way, as a hardness, a pressure, a tension that underlies everything. And so as I speak about it, I bring in the living energies of that experience. And so it helps build the frequency of that in everyone here. Because I live as if I can't do anything by myself. It's like, if I'm not connected to Mother Earth, I'm like just a blob. I mean, I just don't even exist practically. And I love doing things with other people. I like being connected to other people. I like doing things with other people. And that includes Mother Earth and Father Sun. So I am always connecting. And you're allowed to do that. And yet this block comes up that just like unconsciously knocks us back into that. I got to do this all by myself. And even if it's not verbalized, it's pressing on us. In a huge way. So in part of the teaching about leading a group, so I knew I had to say that and bring that teaching forward. And, you know, it took me at least 3 years to offer this training. And one of the resistances I had is I worked really hard for a good 10 years to develop relaxation and concentration. I would say it really was about 10 years it took me. And I was someone who I was, you know, an artist and a writer, and I knew what it meant to be immersed to the point where nothing could distract you. That's concentration, that's relaxed concentration, like when I would be immersed in a vision of what I wanted to write or paint. But to be immersed in the spirit of your being unwaveringly, that was a challenge. And what that does, it brings up all the trauma and all the pain and all the suffering that came from being disconnected from Mother Earth and Father Sun. And so then you have to deal with all that stuff that comes up. So every time I would sit down to do an immersion in my focus was light. I've always been a person who is attracted to the subtle realms of light, as well as Mother Earth. And, you know, I would be able to do it for a little while, and then something would come up. And then a distraction would come up. And then I'd get up, and sometimes I would get up and walk away and not even realize that this reflex had taken over. And I had committed to a practice of sitting for an hour. And after 10 minutes, I just got up and I was going about my business and completely unconsciously forgot the practice. And I really did spend about 10 years developing this skill. And our practice of grounding develops that skill. So it's a multi-purpose practice. A, it fills you with incredible, pure, vibrant living energy and heals and vitalizes you. Second, it develops that relaxation and concentration. So the practice is when you are with someone who's ungrounded and you can maintain that background awareness and feel it. It's in the back. It can be in the background while you're speaking, while you're engaging, while I'm out with my girlfriends. They're all having martinis. I don't drink alcohol. But they're all having fun and we're having our girls' night. And I'm sitting there grounding and they're just as happy to be with me without alcohol as they are with their alcohol. And I'm just as happy to be with them because I'm practicing and I'm feeling so full and filled and connected that it's just pure love that I have for them. And they feel that. And so this practice of doing this as a background practice over and over and over again develops that relaxation and concentration, that smooth, consistent, unbroken stream of energy. That is what concentration is. It's an unbroken stream. Of awareness. And even as you're listening to me now, become aware of that within you so that you're not 100% of your focus isn't on me. 80% is on you and your grounding. And so you can start learning about your focus and what it does for you or doesn't do for you. And practice it while you're watching TV, while you're driving, while you're in the grocery store, whatever you're doing. And just learn from it. And you'll learn that sometimes you put your focus on something that just is not good, but you may not have noticed it before. And you pick up the heavy energy of what your focus was on. So that can include the irritated voice in your head. It can be a certain type of TV program you're watching or someone you're with or whatever. But if more of your attention goes to something outside of yourself rather than your awareness of that stream of living energy, then you're going to pick up whatever that is. So in daily life, I consider it kind of an 80-20 balance where 80% is within you and aware. And that awareness can waver, but there's always a little bit of it there. And 20% can be kind of radiating around you, aware of your surroundings and things like that. But when you're leading a sacred circle ceremony, 100% has to be focused on the stream of living energy. So if you remember, when I started today, I actually paused. I said I needed to find the right language for this. And that was a way of giving myself time to make sure I was aligned and grounded fully, because I didn't want to say what I knew what I was going to have to say, but I still had to say it. Yeah, believe me, I really didn't want to have to say it. And so I paused myself and grounded and just let it happen. And I was actually very terrified about that. And I know that there's no choice. That I spent 3 years not saying that, not holding up a standard that would not be popular now. But in my training in art school or whatever training you go through, there's standards. And the problem is we associate having to master something with not in a relaxed way. So I constantly have to remind myself to relax and ground. And return. And it's about returning, returning, returning. Because there's a difference between holding up a set of standards and speaking to the soul, to the heart. Versus, learning a piano scale or a painting technique. And when you're involved with ceremony, you're speaking to the soul. It's a very different experience. Allow yourself to ground in the silence here for a little bit. Okay, so there's also another part of this that we should bring up. And Renee, this relates to what you've experienced. If you have been involved with the spiritual realm for a while, you can encounter a lot of judgment and negativity. And it can be really traumatizing. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here?
I think that I do, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, in some ways, it's become more acceptable because it's, they're selling milk spiritually now. But I always refer back to what you said, Renee, about how it was easier to come out as a lesbian than to come out spiritually. So there is, I know I've had trauma around that that I've had to deal with, and I'm still dealing with it. So maybe we should talk a little bit about that right now, if that is pertinent to anyone. And the reason we're bringing up is we are getting grounded. The circle is forming. The energies are becoming available. The luminous beings are here. And so if we talk about something, if we speak about it in sacred circle, it is in a healing place. And it's important to use your voice. And you don't have to be super vulnerable, just comfortably can speak. But we're in a healing space. And, you know, I embrace the full spectrum of existence, which includes trauma. And if we can address a certain level of our trauma and fear within a sacred circle, it can be very healing. And if there is heavy duty trauma, then I strongly suggest to people to go to someone like Renee, who's a trauma specialist, or some kind of therapist that can help you with that, because that'll block the progression on your spiritual development. It has to be healed in some form. And we are a total traumatized culture. So there's no one without trauma. But if we can talk about trauma light here. and the other thing to make sure is that as healers and guides, it's spiritual practices don't necessarily, they can, but probably don't fully address deep trauma. That you really need someone who is experienced to help you with that. And there can be kind of a thought form out there that if you go into spiritual practices, it'll heal everything in you. And sometimes that happens, but most of the time, and the most responsible way to address it is to refer someone to attending to that trauma. So you don't want people coming into sacred circle who haven't address some of the wounding in their lives. So, what we're talking about here, if anyone wants to express anything, is any kind of trauma related to being rejected for your spiritual visions, experiences, beliefs, approach. Go ahead.
Two years ago, I think, maybe three, I was on a trip with my daughter. It was actually for my son's 20th, I don't like to use the word anniversary, but we thought we'd get together someplace neutral. And after 4 days with me, I was really trying just to stay grounded, I thought, and it really upset her. And she just said, I don't, because of her own fear, and I don't know if that stems from her trauma or what, but her own fear, I guess, of being like me, which she is, unfortunately for her, that Yeah, she's me on steroids, but she's come around. I figured that the best, she really yelled at me and told me, I don't want to hear anything about your spiritual work. I don't want to hear anything about anything. She just really threw a fit. And I just thought, okay, I'm just going to set an example. And then perhaps she'll come around. So when I'm with her, I just try to stay grounded myself the best I can, because that's going back to Cleveland, which always wakes everything up in me. And I need it there. I take my grounding mat sometimes with me. And the girls, her children help me because they're pretty grounded. So, especially Riley. And but there is real, even I live with somebody who's a Dzogchen, was trained by a Dzogchen, I can't say it right, Dzogchen master, a Tibetan master for 10 years. And I scare him because I'll say to him, you're not grounded, or, and sometimes he'll say it to me, but it's other people's fear around the spiritual that, and I'm not sure where that comes from, because I now know that without it, I certainly wouldn't be here. So it's an essential part of my being to want to be grounded and stay in the love and compassion rather than the chaos. So I don't, how do you address that? And it's the person you live with, or it's your children.
Just like you described, sometimes it's bumpy, sometimes it's smooth. I have one daughter who knows she's turning into her mother, and one daughter that just like has a slight opening a slight opening to it. But they're both trained by me. They both know that they're what they've got going. But and Trish, I'm not sure everyone knows when you refer to John, what you're referring to. I don't know. It's not
Well, you know,
everyone
Sarah, I've had
knows.
a lot of trauma in my life. It's not just John.
Right.
I kind of consider it all one, but my son John, passed away 23 years ago.
Yeah. And that's when Trish and I met.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you were divinely guided, and you agreed. We agreed on some other plane that you would help me in this life first. I'm not, I feel sorry for you. I'm not sure why, because I was like having an adolescent come into your group, like, oh, here she comes, floating halfway across the room. All her angels are going, hey, can you drop a little bit, please? But when you're born into a traumatic household too, I mean, God, you just learn immediately to, the word run comes into your head. Just get as high and as run as far away from this as you can. And you can't, because it's your family who's helping you, but, or keeping you alive, I guess. But eventually, you learn how to deal with some of it. But it, even my own sister, who has studied a lot, read, hides out in a theological, what is it called, Sarah? A library of theological books. What do they call that? I can't think.
Oh, the Akashic Records or something? Are we talking about
No,
that? Oh.
it's actual physical library from the
Oh.
Theosophical
Oh,
Society.
Theosophical.
Thank
Theosophical.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And has read everything, but yet cannot be grounded, cannot, because of her illness, she can't be grounded. And so it's always challenging. So I have really decided that the only way to do it is just remain grounded as much as I can and emanate that to others. I don't try to include them. I figure that's up to spirit and Mother Earth, and I give them a doorway maybe, but I don't do it. But it's still, but I will tell anyone that asks me that I now know that all the trauma I've been through was the greatest gift and teacher I ever had, besides you.
it does take us down the path. So thank you. So go ahead.
I can wait, Sarah.
Oh, no, go ahead. I just was going to remind everyone that you can feel the living energies here, that what's happening is the living energies digest the heavy energies. So with my vision of our circle here, I see it's like a digestive process where the heavy energies are being pulsed and dissolved and worked to be transmuted here. So that's what the speaking in sacred circle does. Okay, go ahead, Renee.
I want to say that I've no doubt that I was probably all of us burned at the stake for acknowledging our spiritual beings, the spiritual beings that we are. And I think today, at least in this part of the world, we're not being burned at the stake, but there's a subtle systemic disdain or kind of brushing away, brushing off of deep spiritual truths. And I just a couple of examples where I was devastated. Teaching at Esalen with the big, well-known guy. And I asked if I could lead the group in a grounding. And I did. And it was beautiful. And it was right before lunch. And when I concluded the grounding, my co-teacher said to the entire group, "Okay," and he clapped his hands. He said, "Everybody get on your knees and let's howl like wolves and stand up and get back in your bodies." And it was so harsh, and everybody followed along with him. And I was so devastated, and I was, he was on a pedestal for me, so I never spoke up with him, even in private, about it. And another, for me, example of the subtlety of this, in this, at least this part of the world now, woman I was dating was going to come into quite a bit of money and a while ago, a year or so ago, and she said, "Renee, we're going to buy the house of our dreams. And you can have a space there to do your little spiritual things and have your little spiritual groups." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And it's these little paper cuts that add up to this thought of, well, why would I want to put myself out there if this is going to happen? And I've had to learn, as I think probably all of us have, to stand in myself, to stay in the axis of light, even if there are reactions like that.
I love how you described it as those paper cuts, and it can be devastating. Absolutely. I didn't know that you never told me that one about Esalen. Yeah.
Long time ago.
I actually had a similar experience with the great Sufi teacher, a different, not my teacher, but someone considered to be a great Sufi teacher. Is this bringing up anything for anyone else? Because you put it in the circle, it's going to help with the healing.
This is Carolyn. I can remember I was at an ashram in India and was studying.
Pause 1 second. 1 second, Carolyn. Everyone, come back to your grounding. 80% grounding, okay? So that we keep the circle alive and the healing can happen. Okay, go ahead, Carolyn. Sorry.
It's okay. And when I was with this guru, the guru manifested a medallion for me. And it was just such a blessing. And I received a mantra. And then when I came back to the United States and I was with family that I loved and cared, and I was so excited to share with them what had happened. And their response was, it was so hurtful and offensive in that, oh, you know, that really didn't happen. You know, like it was some kind of trickery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it just, you know, I realized at that point, you know, don't share.
And if we can't share with other people, then we stop sharing with ourselves sometimes. You know, we just kill it all. Okay. Feel your grounding. So see how we're tending to the living energies as we're speaking. This is part of the teaching here. You can forget about tending to the living energies if you get so wrapped up in the stories. But people need to tell their experiences. And I don't mean stories in that they're fabricated, just their experiences that they're relating. But you can get so tied up in the description that you forget your grounding. And then the circle loses the living energy. And then the healing doesn't happen. So I want you to be aware. Of tending to the living energies. Beautiful. So who wants to say what they're noticing about the energy of the circle now? What's happening? What do you notice? Not looking with your mind, what are you knowing?
Hi, this is Trish. I definitely, it is the habit of mine, because I guess sometimes when I speak, I become fearful. So I disconnect from my feeling abilities. So when you say go back to living energies, I feel it like effervescent little tingling in my heart space, in my chest. It's a palpable feeling of sort of tingly, warm and fuzzy, and I can feel the heart chakra start to expand.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is for me when you say, because at first I had to ask myself, wait, what did I do? Where do the living energies go? What do they feel like? I had to go back and go through it like A, B, C, D, like really put my attention or concentration on what I was feeling.
Beautiful process. That's what we do. And so you knew through your heart the state of the circle.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.